Hi, this is Margot.
Hey, Margot.
How you doing?
Good. I appreciate you talking to me because I was led to your book and I read it. And I was I read in one sitting. I was just that evening just reading. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is saying exactly what I'm going through. But she says she's writing this down in 2008.
I have the original tapes. I mean, I have the tapes from when I channeled all that stuff.
I mean,
and at the time, I actually put it on website, and it was called Teachings of Brother Juan. But nobody went to it. And I wasn't really trying to promote it. I was really underground at that point. I didn't want any attention.
Sure.
But I wanted the messages out there. And then I took that website down after a while. But I had there were those 16 that were specific ones about the ascension and about timeline shifts.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading it.
So I already had it transcribed, and so I thought, well, I'll just make it an e-book, you know.
I'm reading it, and you're saying you're going to begin to notice changes in your timeline. You're going to wake up and have a different history, and you're going to see it, but nobody else is going to see it because they're not awake. I'm reading this thing, oh, my gosh. And I called Dan, and we talked for an hour, and we're like, I can't believe some of these comments being made. So... Mm-hmm. You know, we said, forget about Fiona Broom. Margo knew about this. What did you think when you started seeing the Mandela effect really come on the scene as far as becoming known and popular?
I knew that's what Brother Juan was describing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew exactly that was what he was describing. And it didn't surprise me. Because I'd already gone through it, and I'd already had some really strange experiences where, like, whole environments would be different.
And, right.
Or, like, my story about when I was shopping at Winco. Did you hear that story?
No, I didn't hear that one.
Shopping at Winco, which is a big grocery store here, and they have a lot of bulk food and stuff like that. And so I was shopping, and I just started shopping. I had a few things in my cart, and I don't eat any junk food. I'm very, I'm a vegan now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was vegan at that point. I was probably vegetarian. Anyway, I had a few things in my cart, like organic carrots and jalapenos and maybe an avocado or something. And I was in this one aisle, and I got my bags and was getting pumpkin seeds out of the bulk bin. And so I turned my back on my cart while I was getting the pumpkin seeds, and I got them and, you know, tied them up. And I turned around. My cart was gone. But there was another cart in its place, and it was full of junk food.
Oh, wow. No, I do remember you mentioning that now. You know, there was a long talk.
That totally flipped me out. And
right.
I'm like, who took my car? And no one had been there.
For sure, yeah.
And so I had to start over with my shopping. And that was the most dramatic one. Another dramatic one was I used to hike all the Mount Rose area here. That's the big ski area. Mount Rose is like 10,700 feet high. It's the big mountain here. It's really beautiful. It's really popular. And in fact, on the front of my book, Descension book, that's a picture of Mount Rose.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
Mount Rose.
Okay.
And I took that picture. And so I used to hike that whole area. And so I'd been hiking, and I guess it'd been about 3 months since I'd been to this one place, and I went, and the whole area had been developed into a visitor center, and there were roads, paved roads, and porta-potties, and parking lots, and a huge visitor center that had been opened up, and I'm like, when did they build this?
Yeah.
And I lived right there on Mount Rose Highway,
right.
And I didn't see construction trucks going back and forth.
Sure.
And there's no way they could have built all of that in 3 months.
I have several friends that have given me that exact same account in their neighborhoods. They have seen exactly the way you just described, things just coming up out of nowhere, and there's just no way.
And when you experience that, the reality is so different, you really get dizzy.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a reference point, and you need that reference point. And, you know, some of the timelines are not as dramatic. They're more similar to, you know, where you were.
Very close,
yeah. There
might
be little tiny changes. But I always know when there's a timeline shift because something weird happens, and then I'll have things are just off for about a day, and it'll be boom, boom, boom. You know, things will happen, and then it's like, okay, new timeline, and then the energy shifts, and everything opens up, and I start getting new clients. I have people contact me like you. It's like, okay, everything in the old timeline had reached as far as it was going to go. And then here I am in this new timeline, and now it's all opened up again.
Do you think shifts are like ramping up with more frequency and getting, you know, more and more? Yeah. I can't tell you that the word synchronicity and coincidence over and over and over constantly has defined my last year. It's just amazing how many times I will be thinking about doing a video about a certain topic, Mandela effect that I'm not, we call them Mandela effects, reality shifts, something I noticed that I want to do a video, and then somebody's doing one before I had a chance to, or then I'll do one, I'll see theirs pop up almost at the same time. It's just the frequency that happens. I had the number 444 popping up in front of me constantly last week. It was just over and over and over. And I was going to mention on a video, and I just saw yesterday somebody did a video with 444, and I was like, wow. It's funny.
It's in the consciousness. People who are more open and more sensitive, they're tuning in to that stuff that's in the consciousness more.
Yeah.
And we're becoming more open as we lose our belief reality cap more and more, and, you know, open up and lose the blocks and lose our preconceived notions and all the crap that we were taught that was wrong. And then we're open to how things really are. And if you're really open to it, you can know the mind of God.
Well, I love how you presented that too, because you said we have to really remove our bias cap, and it's so true. And I try to do that actively with myself, because as long as we are so married to our biases that we are unmoved, you just have to filter everything through that bias, and you will just reject anything that doesn't match it, and you're not open to anything that might be a truth. It shuts you down from listening.
Right. And we all have them
from
our programming and the way we're brought up and religion and, you know, our star figures, and we all have them. And you can't really be a truth seeker without removing as many of those as you can and being open to whatever is being presented, and then you test it for yourself and feel, you know, say, does this feel right? Does this sound right? And it might be partly true, but partly false. And so you might just take in, realize that only part of it is real, because you don't know what kind of belief reality cap the person that you're getting that information from is working through.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I feel like I can empathize, because you're kind of in a tight spot with finding a receptive audience just like me. If I talk about seeing the changes that I've observed change in the Bible, and I've seen them change right before my eyes, just morph and change. If I mention that in a church group setting, they'll, you know, burn me at the stake or kick me out.
They'll bring you up.
Right, exactly. So I can't say that, but I know it's true. I know I've seen it, and I know it's real.
Right.
And at the same time, if I say to another group of friends who are really into the vibration, and you know, I was into metaphysics really big. I read all of Jane Roberts and Seth Speaks and just all of that. And if I talk too much about vibration and channeling or speaking to other entities, now that group might agree with me. But then if I say, but there's also a spiritual war going on and God is real, Jesus is real, and there's a devil and a Satan and they're at battle because I've seen the demons, I've seen them manifest before me many times. If I say that, they cry out, no, no, don't say that. Don't believe in it. You're creating it with your own mind. That's like,
they shut down.
Right. They shut down because I'm just giving my testimony of what I've experienced. And I can't,
right.
I know I've heard, I've even had these spirits come to me, try to convince me with all of their might that I was God and that I was creating everything. And it just doesn't resonate as true.
No. No.
But I've had them come to me in different ways, dreams and whatnot. That's
how Satan infiltrates everything and perpetuates the lies. You know, we're not God and we never will be. And you know, I've had a lot of UFO experiences, and you know, I take the pictures where they show up in my pictures, and I didn't see them.
Wow!
I wrote a whole book about that. And you know, I mean, I talk to these beings and in trance state, and there's a reason for that, and it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It's my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't lessen my experience with Jesus.
There's definitely stuff going on constantly.
Yeah. Well, I woke up this morning thinking about our talk, and I've decided on my next project, I'm going to make the Ascension book into an audio book.
Okay, yeah. It's short enough that would be a good one to listen to, yeah.
It won't be a long read.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I've got, you know, I read all of it on my YouTube channel, but I made comments and stuff.
Yeah.
About, you know, it's not a real good quality because I was doing through Blog Talk and, you know, that their quality sucks. And so I decided that, I've had people comment and say, you know, this would be a great audio book.
Yeah.
And so I decided that's going to be my next project, and I've got all the equipment and everything, and I've got the know-how, and so I'm going to do it, and you can do it right there on Amazon. I mean, you record files and then you upload them onto Amazon.
Right.
And they make it into an
audio. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. What's the name of the book again? It's Ascension.
Ascension, Timeline Shifts in Consciousness, Channeled Messages from Brother One and the Great One. The Great One is the soul of the earth.
Yeah.
Brother One was one of my inner teachers. He was my second inner teacher. And my first inner teacher was Meek Thu, and I've published his teachings. Those are called the teachings of Meek Thu.
Huh.
And I can send you those.
Yeah.
That'd be good. That. And I'm happy to send you my UFO book, too.
That would be neat. We, just because I don't know that I'm pretty sure the Mandela Effect community, which is pretty large, just is unaware of how specifically some of the things and comments in your book just relate so much to what we've been experiencing. I mean, you said things like time is speeding up, things are changing, things are shifting, timelines are shifting quickly now.
Well, and the way the Great One described it, and Brother Juan described, well, the Great One says that she's wrapping up all the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get down to the final timeline, and then it goes down to a zero point, and then it's like, the way Brother Juan explained it, the way I kind of saw it in my mind was we kind of like go through this black hole, and we end up on the other side of wherever we're supposed to go and end up.
Hmm. It seemed like it was important to make everything happened before CERN started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they outline exactly how the electronic fence is going up around the world, mm-hmm. and how it's such everyone's going to be imprisoned, and it was all starting with the cell phone towers. HDTV came online mm-hmm. in 2008,
yep.
and the signal changed from analog to digital, and that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do that in order to get the electronic fence around the world. It couldn't be analog. And then CERN was a key factor. And with those three, the idea was the bad guys were going to take all of that technology and, you know, move forward really quickly so that they could create this electronic fence around the Earth and then move it into a pocket dimension where the bad guys will rule forever. And these will be AI. It will be run by AI and the AI God. People will become transhuman. You know, the transhumanism
mm-hmm.
movement will be
yep.
there. People will be cyborged. And the humans that are left there, they will have sold out. They will have sold their soul, because everybody will have a definite time to make a choice. And I feel like people have already made their choice. But,
right.
But once we move into that pocket dimension, there's no getting out.
Hmm. That pocket dimension is that AI-controlled beast. I consider that like a beast system.
Yeah, that's the beast. That's all the beast system. And they say the way I saw it was that the timeline would be splitting. And, you know, in one timeline, the Earth ascends. And the way she's described it recently, in the last couple of years, is that when it's time, she'll wrap us up in her arms and she'll go up in a blaze of light and a blaze of glory. And we go with her because we're part of her soul, the humans here.
Right.
We're part of her soul and her energy and her expression. And you can't separate the two because she's a sentient spiritual being as well. But,
and you specifically say the humans here because there's many references to there being many robots here or programs.
Right. There's not many humans with souls left. There are a lot of robot people that look human, but they're actually like robotic programs.
They're programmed. To follow the program, but mm-hmm. there's a mention in there which made it was kind of curious that even some robots are waking up.
Right, right.
So even there, like, what's going on?
Right.
That's,
I mean, they have a chance too if yeah. they want to.
Yeah.
And then, so when that timeline, when it splits like that, then the Earth is supposed to go up into 5D,
right.
And that's where the expression will be. We'll bypass. We're moving through 4D now, and 4D is a really dark, hellish realm. And you know, at the end of the book, where it says, "Is Earth ascending a new perspective on heaven and hell?" I saw all of that in a client session that I had, and I saw how everything was going to be splitting up. It was all described.
Hmm.
And I felt like that fit in with the book really well because
right.
it kind of like really wrapped everything up and showed exactly how things were going to happen.
Right.
And then so we go into that 5D reality, and whatever's left here, there may be a physical planet left, but it will be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because the soul of the Earth will have left,
yeah.
and that the soul of the Earth is what gives the Earth life. That's the life force, you know, making the trees grow and the
mm-hmm.
plants and, you know, the air and the water and everything. And, you know, they're very quickly doing everything they can to kill the life force and to kill the soul of the Earth. And the Earth is just becoming more and more polluted. And more moving towards technology and with the nanobots and the chemtrails, and they're actually creating a false reality, a plastic reality right here,
right.
And it's manifesting here right now, and we're living in it, and my body doesn't fit here anymore. It's really hard to stay here. I'm having a lot of physical problems.
A lot of people are expressing pains, headaches, and ringing of the ears real bad.
Yeah.
In the Mandela Effect community, they're saying that a lot.
Yeah. That's all common. I have a lot of allergies, and I just don't interface well at all with this world anymore. I just don't.
And you said
DNA is unwinding. I know that.
You said that they're using against us CERN and HARP and Gwen.
Okay.
I'm not sure what
right.
Gwen is.
Gwen is another antenna array system.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually before HARP, and it runs through the Earth. It's like this energy runs through the Earth.
Huh.
So,
And that combined with blood sacrifices.
Right.
Like black magic and witchcraft. Yeah.
All the satanic stuff. Yeah, it all goes in together to create this dark mind and this dark reality, and you know, and then it ends up being like this black cloud around the Earth, and that's the consciousness, and that's what people are having to sift through, and that's why it's so hard for them to get clear messages and a divine connection, because it's having to go through this black cloud, which is the dark mind, and it's satanic. It's Satan.
And about 63% in, and I don't have page numbers on my little Kindle, I've got the percentages, they are trying to get their people, the dark ones are trying to get their people off the planet, then have a battle with holographic imagery and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their own army kind of people, and they're trying to make... I was just curious what that meant a little bit more.
Well, I think that, you know, they put a lot of time and effort in their guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so their original people, they don't want them to die. So they're going to... They could even have them cloned now.
Wow.
You know, and let the clones be doing the battle and have the original somewhere else. And then, you know, this is... And at the end of the book, Brother Juan says this is a simulation. We're living in a computer program in a simulation. So if it's that, it can be totally with holograms.
Sure.
Absolutely. And we interface. We're just interfacing here with our minds.
It's like the dark ones lie to you. Their lies seem like gleaming truths for you, for your own good. Prison, ignorance, sickness, they're all for your own good. That's the lies they keep presenting to us.
Right.
And
that's only gotten more.
Right.
I mean, look at all the people that are on the antidepressants and, Prozac and all this stuff. Look at the mental health community. I mean, that's just exploding, and I have people come to me for implant removal. They say, well, you know, I think I've got alien implants, and you know, my third eye's like blown wide open, and I'm hearing stuff, and they've diagnosed me as schizophrenic, and I look in, and there's a portal in their head.
Hmm.
Put in, you know?
A portal to a dark area, like pulling on the
it's
evil?
It's a portal. It's a portal. And it can be connected to demons. It can be connected to 4D.
Mm-hmm.
If it's put in by the government with mind control, it's technology. You know, it's ET technology.
Right.
And, you know, they're opened up.
So if you're hearing...
Check all that out.
If you're hearing in the quiet moments, you're hearing like a conversation in a distance, but you can't make out the conversation. Or it sounds like a TV show or a radio show's on. You can't quite make it out, but you can hear it. That might be kind of a
portal.
Well,
that could be a lot of things. You could have physical implants, along with heavy metal that's conducting the Wi-Fi through your body, and, you know, like metal, you know, silver amalgam in your fillings in your teeth,
uh-huh.
that'll conduct electricity in your body. You can actually hear stuff.
Well, I mention it because I do.
I've heard when I've only had two silver fillings, and when I had those in, before I got those replaced, I was hearing radio stations in my head when I was trying to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I would hear the songs and people talking, everything.
Yep.
And then I'd come out of meditation, I'd turn on the radio, it's right there.
Yeah, that's kind of happening to me, yeah.
Well, you know, you could have heavy metals in your body conducting. And we've got a lot of heavy metals. It's really good to get your body as clean as possible so that, you know, you get a clear signal.
Yeah, I've definitely got that teeth fillings all the way through, too, so, yeah.
Yeah, the metal is that's a death sentence. Literally, that is a death sentence, to have all that silver amalgam in your mouth.
There is another statement about when the battle begins, they'll open up gateways to usher in demons.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you, I had one of my most powerful experiences was seeing a portal of hell, smelling the sulfur very strongly, seeing the column of smoke go all the way up to the, as far as you could see. I saw it manifest right there before me. And I called my wife to tell her what I just saw, and she said, "You don't need to be talking like that to anybody. They're going to put you away." I was like, I saw it. First, I smelled it really strong. It was super intense. And I looked to my left, and there it was. You know, I was driving in the car. It was just nuts.
Yeah, well, it's happening, and it's happening in different places. And CERN is opening up these portals to bring their army through.
Yeah, yeah.
To bring their army through, and did you hear, like, the giants are going to be waking up? There are giants way down in the earth.
There's a lot of YouTube videos about them.
In suspended animation, and they look alive.
Mm-hmm.
They look real. They don't look dead at all. And you know, they're like on this time, you know, suspended animation thing, and then they'll be triggered when it's time. They're coming up.
I look at all of reality as being so fake now, because I've seen just things change so profoundly. But you said that anyone who is not awake, they just don't see it. Nothing looks different to them. That made it just, and that's what I, so when I see something change in reality, and no one around me saw it, but I saw it, and no one would acknowledge that they saw it, I would say to myself, did I just leave one reality and pop into this one that they don't see it, or are they just that you know, just clueless to what just happened? Are they just
asleep
that?
To it.
Yeah.
Well, it could be that. It could be both of those, and it could be that, like in the 13th floor, like not everyone is real.
Right.
And there are only certain ones who are players. You know, like the people who moved back and forth between the computer simulations, and they projected their consciousness into the character in the simulation. You know, those were the players, but everybody else were like backdrop, and just like actors, and they're just backdrop, and so they wouldn't be aware, because all they know is right there, that program. That's all they know.
Sometimes science fiction presents an image of reality that's a little Philip K. Dick, and him, you know, are you familiar with him as a science fiction writer?
Who?
Philip K. Dick.
No.
Huh? Oh, I gotta send you a clip. Back in 77, this guy was telling all of his peers, "We are in a simulated reality," in 1977.
Yeah.
And they're all snickering and laughing, and he's being 100% serious. He wrote science fiction, but he believed it. it's amazing. I probably need to run because somebody's blowing up my phone from work.
Okay.
You know how that is. It's this 3D reality trying to puncture
right.
through because we're having too good of a talk. But
right.
I want to, you know, put some of this stuff forward on YouTube and
yep.
you really push this how much you have called this out so far in advance. It's significant. People need to know that. And then the other thing, you've got a website, you've got other things that you do.
I've got a YouTube channel, I've got a website.
And I know there's a certain crowd that's going to be very cautious about channeling. And I told you my concerns. I said, I'm cautious about it. And you said, well, you got to test the spirits, and you like to call it interdimensional communication. And
right.
to be honest, when I'm feeling there are things speaking to me quite often, and I feel God talking to me, that's essentially interdimensional communication.
The same type of thing, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. I don't see how when someone says, oh, I heard from the Lord, you know, automatically
right.
people want to listen to him, but they don't want to listen to me because
right.
I say channeled teachings from Brother Juan and the Great One. And what I found is if they're that close, you know, this message is not for them.
Yeah.
It's really not if they're that close. And I'm careful if I know I'm just with a Christian group, I'm
right,
careful
right.
what I share. Took my spiritual warfare classes with Dan Duvall. It was like, I didn't dare say hypnosis. I
sure.
said guided meditation and shut me down. Oh, that's not good.
I have said to God many times, I feel like I'm at a great disadvantage here because there's so many voices. I don't,
mm-hmm.
I pray every day. I want your will to happen. I want you to guide my steps. I want to know what you want me to know. Keep me true.
also want to ask for discernment. You want to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can have spirit-filled eyes, heart, mind, and discernment, and to always to be able to discern the truth in all situations.
Yeah, otherwise we're outgunned. I mean, we
yeah.
just, we don't have the faculties
no way.
To, right.
No way to know.
And I realized that. I realized that when I had my repentance and my submission and my coming back to Jesus, that I was given a lot of gifts at that moment. And when I asked to be shown reality, and a few days later I had asked if God would show me anything about reality he wanted me to know, that same day flooded me with so many things. You know, it is a spiritual thing. I see it as a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and yeah, if you could refer, you know, to my website, you know,
mm-hmm.
MargaretCorner.com and my YouTube channel so that people can find me, that'd be great.
I think I'm going to say before Fiona, there was Margo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
I've been at this a long time.
yeah. It's pretty awesome. Well, again, I appreciate your time today. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
So,
guys.
Yeah, and we'll talk again soon. I.
Thank you. Okay, you have a great day.
You
God
too.
Bless.
Thanks. God bless. Bye.